What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host, David Drogemeyer. We are two writers from San Diego Sports Domination who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show weekly, Chargers Domination Live, and this is our second season as the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, well, it's game day. The Chargers have a huge one tonight in Mexico City against the Kansas City Chiefs, who are 6-4, coming off an absolutely brutal loss against the Titans. And the Chargers are coming off of their absolutely brutal loss of their own against the Oakland Raiders in their last game, also on prime time against the Raiders on Thursday Night Football. So a huge game tonight, David, because the Chargers still basically control their own destiny in this game, and at least for the in this season if they were to win out. But it starts with this game. So we're going to talk about the latest on the Chargers' injuries and who we can expect to see in this game. Maybe a surprise add to the team, hopefully, fingers crossed. And also some bad news, especially regarding Russell Okung, who was downgraded to doubtful for this game. So it is our game day show, or our pregame show. So today we will also get into some voicemails. We have two voicemails to get into, Nameless and Lamlock, talking about the Chargers and Phillip Rivers and this game on Monday Night Football. And then we'll go ahead and get into the last segment, getting into our game predictions and bowl predictions. And we're also going to talk about an article by Gilbert Manzano of the OC Register, just about what happens if the Chargers were to lose this game and what direction would they go in if they were to fall to 4-7 just before the game happens, because we all know hindsight is 20/20. So let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The Chargers play tonight in Mexico City against the 6-4 Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, and in a game that can very well decide the Chargers season. At 4-6 right now, the Chargers season is hanging by a thread, but they still have their own path to get into the playoffs if they take care of the games still on their schedule. So the best way for the Chargers to make the playoffs this year, obviously, is for them to run the table, and that would give them a very good chance to make it and to win a division crown in the AFC West. But this game against the Kansas City Chiefs is very important, so it is very tough to read that a major Chargers player is not going to play more than likely in this game, because David, Russell Okung was downgraded to doubtful late on Sunday, so it's looking like your starting left tackle is not going to play, which was really a key part of the Oakland Raiders winning the game against the Chargers and getting constant pressure. And another late add to the injury report was Drew Tranquil, who has been getting a lot more snaps on the defensive side of the ball and playing well with them, and is a very good athlete that would match up a lot better with the Chiefs than some of your other linebackers. So, David, those are two really big names the Chargers can't afford to lose on Monday.
Yeah, it sucks that you're starting left tackle Russell Okung, who you just got back, you know, from the pulmonary embolism, you know, is back on the injury report with a groin injury. He was unable to practice all week, and he was still questionable for most of the week towards the end until his status was changed to doubtful. So it was a little bit crazy to see that, you know, he still had a, you know, possibility to play after not practicing all week. But now we know the chances of him playing in this game are pretty slim, and you know it's going to be, you know, it's just really bad timing in a game where it's, you know, it's crucial that the Chargers put their best foot forward and do everything they can to try to win a football game. Your unequivocal best offensive lineman is going to be out, more than likely out for this one, and you know that obviously hurts the Chargers. You know, they're going to have a big, you know, step up game from their rookie left tackle Trey Pipkins. So we'll see what he's going to be able to do. The Chargers are definitely going to need to help him out on the outside. And yeah, Drew Tranquil, you know, kind of a late addition to the injury report, had a calf injury. Man, his presence on special teams has been invaluable. He's getting more snaps on defense. He's making a lot of plays. So, I mean, hopefully he's able to go out there. It's an all hands on deck type of game. So hopefully he's ready to go.
And of course, when you're talking about an injury, there's no game that you necessarily want to bring a Charger back too soon from an injury and potentially cause him to re-injure that and make it worse. But in this game, if anyone can play, they have to be out there. And I think that's why Russell Okung is not just flatly out for this game. But as far as the offensive line goes, after last week's performance with Phillip Rivers getting sacked 5 times, hit in total 11 times, it is really tough to think that you're not only without Russell Okung more than likely, but you're also missing starting right tackle Sam Tevy, who hasn't been great this year, but has been much better than Trent Scott. So that's going to be a huge storyline and matchup in this game. But maybe, David, the Drew Tranquil absence can actually be dulled a little bit if the Chargers were to activate Adrian Phillips onto the active roster. They already removed him from the injured reserve list, and now the Chargers have 3 weeks to activate him to the roster. And in this game, David, would be so important to have someone like him who plays dime linebacker anyways. The Chargers are definitely going to be in a lot of sub packages in this game with Kansas City's high-powered air offense and their lack of being able to run the football. You know the Chargers are going to have their dime package out there a lot. So I wouldn't say it's likely, David, that Adrian Phillips plays in the game tonight, but just the fact that they haven't ruled it out means that in a very desperate game for the Chargers, we might actually see number 31, which would be a huge boost to the Chargers, especially in tackling the ball carrier.
No question about it. I mean, he's been a great player for the Chargers the last couple of years, a player that has really, you know, just earned his snaps and earned his respect. And, you know, he's coming off of this arm injury. He's supposedly looked pretty good in practice, started out on the scout team and then earned some first team reps. So hopefully, you know, he'll be out there and, you know, then the Chargers defense can kind of, you know, be a little bit closer to what they thought it was going to be, you know, when they started the year, you know, with him in that strong safety, that dime linebacker role, you know, doing what he does best. And then that allows Jalen Watkins to go back to that jack of all trades type of, you know, position. And then Roderick Teamer off the field a little bit. I mean, that would be a huge boon for the Chargers defense. You know, they need everybody. They're going to need all of the help they can get. There's a lot of speed on that Kansas City Chiefs offense. And so they're going to need their best defenders on the field.
Absolutely. And for the Chargers, when you have a guy like Adrian Phillips out there kind of playing linebacker, you can let Jalen Watkins be the strong safety and have Rayshon Jenkins not necessarily have to be the last line of defense so often. You have another sure tackling guy out there. And with the Chiefs, we know how important it is for the Chargers to get those guys on the ground and try to eliminate as many of the yards after catch as they possibly can, because the Chiefs thrive on it. So to get potentially Adrian Phillips back in this game would be huge. To know that Justin Jones is likely going to play in this game is definitely going to help the Chargers keep that Kansas City rushing attack down, hopefully. But the losses that the Chargers have on this injury report are very crucial, and it's definitely not good news for a team that pretty much has to have this game to save their season and another week where you're not going to get a lot of help on the injury front. But we do have two more segments to get into, getting into some fan voicemails before talking about what will happen if the Chargers potentially lose this game, and also how we think this game is going to play out coming up right after this. But first, getting onto a better subject, if the Chargers win this game, the feeling that I'm going to have only reminds me of one thing, and that is Blue Chew. That's blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can have it feel like the Chargers are taking down the Chiefs on Monday Night Football in the bedroom, and all you have to do is take a Blue Chew, which you can take any time, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The best part about Blue Chew, guys, is no more awkwardness. They're prescribed online, and they ship straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy either. We're taking all of the awkwardness out of the situation. And right now, we even still have a special deal for you guys where you can get your Blue Chew for free when you go to BlueChew.com and put in the special promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word. All you have to do is spend $5 on shipping. The product itself is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. and talking about something that makes me happy. I also want to tell you guys about my favorite car dealership, and that, of course, is Metro Infinity in LA. It's right off the 210 in Monrovia, and you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out their amazing selection of new and used cars. They are the only dealer in California that is family-owned, and they've been in business for over 25 years. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity is that if you don't like going into the dealership and spending hours there, it's so frustrating. You don't have to at all, because Metro Infinity will actually bring the car and the paperwork to your home or office so you can complete the whole transaction there. If you guys go in there and tell them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there, you can even get an extra $500 off of any car purchase. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or at metroinfinity.com. And right now, you guys could be driving off in a brand new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation for only $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. Oh, and also you get that extra $500 off by telling them that Locked On Chargers sent you over there. If you guys are in the market for any new or used cars, make sure you guys go hit up Metro Infiniti. All right, guys. Well, now it's time to do something we do the show before every game, and that is getting into our fan voicemails. So we always have some really good callers. I understand the lack of callers this week going into this game. I know everyone's nervous right now, but I do want to thank Nameless, who I gave a nickname to last time because he didn't say his name, who had two calls this week, but we're only going to play the one that's not bringing up a bunch of old Raiders scabs and opening those up again. And we're going to be getting into the one about Phillip Rivers, but we also have Lamlock, who's a recurring caller, a good friend of host John Kegley. So Lamlock out in Fort Drum, thanks for calling in, man. And if you guys want to get your voice on the next show, you won't have to wait very long, because if you guys call in with your reactions to the game after tonight's game, you guys can get on the show tomorrow by calling 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail we gets played on the show. So if you guys want to get in, you can be on the next show on Tuesday. If you want to, make sure to do that. But let's go ahead and get into it, David. Let's start with Nameless, who liked the interview with Eric Williams and has a question or at least an idea about what he wants the team to do with Phillip Rivers after the season.
Hi, this is Nameless again. Love the show. Big time Chargers fan. Just got to hear the podcast with Eric Williams. Very insightful with the discussion on Phillip Rivers. I just have a little bit to add to it myself. I don't know if anybody's interested, but this is my little piece of opinion. I think you give Phillip one more season, and you give him whatever he needs, because his team has a ton of talent. You give him a little bit more about what he needs, one more season. That's it for Phillip. One more. Thanks. Great show. Go Chargers.
All right, so David, I think that it's really not that crazy to think about. I know you were talking about an article you saw maybe that showed if Phillip Rivers is leaning towards possibly coming back. And I know that, you know, I just came out with an article about whether Phillip Rivers was going to retire, and I concluded that I did not think he was going to. So the timing on that, I don't know. I mean, me and Eric Williams are friends now, but I don't know if that's where it came from. But I think that's fair, David. I think that if you want to push all of the chips on the table and you feel like Phillip Rivers can still get the job done, obviously not knowing what's going to happen these next 6 weeks, which could obviously change a lot of minds about what you think should happen with Phillip Rivers. But in this case, from Nameless, he thinks that you give Phillip Rivers one more season. Doesn't stop you from drafting another quarterback. It doesn't stop you from doing whatever you want to do this year. But giving him one more year and just trying to put everything possible around him to give him a chance to maybe make another run.
Yeah, I actually agree with that, honestly. I think they owe it to Phillip Rivers. I think Phillip Rivers has given everything he's had to this organization, and the organization has not done that in return for him. And I think they need to. I think they need to go out there and put all the pieces they can around him, namely an offensive line, so he can actually sit back in the pocket and you know, pick people apart. That, you know, is where obviously Phillip Rivers is going to be at his best. And, you know, the Chargers haven't done that. They neglected to go out and add to an offensive line that we were pounding the table that they do add to in the off season before the season started. They made no moves, and now their lack of depth has shown, and it showed itself throughout the season. They cannot go into another season with a 38-year-old quarterback at the helm and not have the protection that is going to be required to let him do his job efficiently and effectively. So I think, you know, you do give Philip Rivers another year to try to figure it out, but you put him in the absolute best position that you can to help him succeed. I think that's what you have to do if you're going to do it. But I also think you have to go out there and definitely draft another replacement. Like I mentioned, he's 38 years old. His clock, obviously, the sand at the end of the glass is starting to run out on Philip Rivers' career. So you definitely got to start grooming the next one in line.
Yeah, and I think that leads to a conversation that we're going to have in the next segment of, well, maybe you try to keep losing this season to try to secure a better pick for a pretty loaded quarterback class, or at least that's how it seems right now. But you never know. I mean, Mitch Trubisky was a top three pick. So it's that's all promise, and that's all nice and fine and dandy. But you just never know what those guys are going to get. And I think that if you want to groom a player behind Philip Rivers for a season, I think that would work out good for them and really let them kind of get their ducks in a row before they throw a new quarterback into the fire. But I don't think that Philip Rivers is going to sit around and mentor someone. And I don't think he's going to get benched this season either with his Iron Man streak currently as it is right now. But I do think that that is the play. I think they do give Philip Rivers another season if he wants it. But I do think that could also change depending on how he plays these last six games. Just like Eric Williams talked about, that's my feelings on it as well. We still have a lot of season, and we could see a Peyton Manning-like drop this last six games that change your mind about this exact conversation.
And Philip Rivers is a really proud man, Daniel. And I mean, if his play starts to decline, I think he would much rather retire than show himself in a negative light.
Yeah, and part of the reports of him potentially wanting to play another year does come with the caveat of asking his wife, Tiffany, basically, which is hilarious. I mean, Philip Rivers just is like all of us. Hey, can I go out and play one more season? Oh, I have to go clear it with Tiffany. You know, that sounds about right. I mean, it sounds like a normal household, right? But no, I mean, we still have to wait and see. And I do think you're right. I don't think Philip Rivers is going to come back just to come back. That's always how I felt about it. I think Philip Rivers will know when his time is up. And I don't think he's going to have a hard time letting go. But I think he does have to pick it up these last six games. So let's go ahead and get into Lamlock, who's one of our favorite callers, calling from Fort Drum. He was in San Diego before that. So let's see what Lamlock has to say this week.
Yo, yo, yo. It's your boy Lamlock, Fort Drum. Man, I just got recovered from that last week devastating loss from the Raiders. Still disappointed about the game. Anyways, so excited for tomorrow's matchup against the Chiefs. You know, both teams are coming off a tough loss, and the sense of urgency is very important for the Chargers because, you know, they got to get it going early in the game because they can't win close games, obviously. So the key tomorrow is just get a fast start. Rivers can't afford to throw interceptions early in the game. You know, the Chiefs are going to play aggressive defense, you know, with the gap blitz the Raiders did. They're probably going to try to do it again, so we got to adjust from the blitz. And let's see what happens tomorrow. So go both.
All right. Well, thank you, Lamlock, for calling in. I understand that you're just recovering from that Raiders game. Aren't we all? The good news is the Chargers have a chance tonight to really make us forget all about that Oakland Raiders game. I mean, of course, if they lose and slip up somewhere else along the road, we'll think back and be like, ugh, if we could have just beat the Raiders. But you could say that about the Titans, the Broncos, the Steelers, the Texans, the Lions. I mean, the list goes on and on. Just add it to the list of misery and heartbreak so far this season. But I do like what you had to say about just the game plan for this one, or at least not letting Philip Rivers and the Chargers get behind in an early start. This already might be a track meet, but you're going to have to be keeping up the entire game, and that does mean scoring early and scoring often. If Philip Rivers throws a couple of picks early, it's going to be pretty bad for them. If they can get off to a fast start and they can never really let the doubt sink in that they're going to have to try to come back in the last possession of the game to win it, I think the Chargers will be much more successful, David. And I think, obviously, if you can do that, it opens up more of the playbook. I mean, when you're down 17-0, that playbook starts to shrink a little bit. If you can keep up with the Chiefs, especially early, it lets the Chargers still do what they want to do, limit the time of possession, shorten this game a little bit, and most importantly, staying balanced.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, part of their success on offense the last couple of weeks is their ability to run the football more efficiently. And, you know, first of all, Lamlock, thank you for your service, man. I know you're out there serving in Fort Drum, and a happy, you know, belated Veterans Day to you as well.
I second that as well. Thank you, Lamlock. We really appreciate you, man. Seriously, thank you.
No doubt. But yeah, I like what you said about starting fast. I think the Chargers need to play a clean game in this one. You know, we already know that high octane offense over there in Kansas City, they can score at will. And so the Chargers cannot gift them any scores. They cannot gift them any penalty yards. They have to play a clean game. And, you know, it's going to be important. And yes, they are going to be a desperate team also. I completely agree with that. They need to come out there with the mindset. And hopefully that's the healthy mindset of them being ultra focused on their craft and what they need to do to go out there and get a very crucial win on their season.
A season-saving win, potentially. And the Chargers have very winnable games. I mean, obviously, you have two Chiefs games and a Vikings game left on your schedule. But if you beat the Chiefs this time, and then you have, you know, the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Broncos, obviously, it's a Chargers game. If you're never going to feel great about any game, but those are all winnable games. So right now, this is the week to set yourself up. And it would be a disaster if Philip Rivers were to go out there and throw a pick on each of the first two drives like he did last week against the Raiders. So I 100% agree with you there, Lamlock. I mean, you just can't have it this week. And it's like kind of like what we've said before, the Packers game. I mean, this is going to have to be a pretty flawless game by the Chargers. They're not going to be able to make a lot of mistakes in those things. And that starts with what you're talking about, Lamlock, right there, and getting a quick start to try to keep up in what potentially could be a track meet. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about Gilbert Manzano's piece for the OC Register about what this Chargers team might start to target if they are to lose this game, before getting into our game predictions and our bold predictions to wrap up the show coming up right after this. All right, David, well, here we are in the final segment of the show before the Chargers take on the Kansas City Chiefs tonight in a game not for all the marbles, but a game of critical importance. So one thing I do want to talk about is just what would happen if the Chargers were to lose this game, because I know most Charger fans are just thinking about this game and this game only, but the Chargers have publicly been out in the media this week saying, hey, we know we have to win this game, and we know we have to win every game, which is something that's a little alarming for me, just because, you know, it's one game at a time and you have to win the rest of your games. But just the fact that you're talking about that is a little bit scary. And Gilbert Manzano talked about that a little bit in a piece this week for the OC Register, and also talked about what might happen if the Chargers were to lose this game and fall to 4-7. So part of that, David, is obviously looking forward to next year's draft class and looking at a very promising 2020 class where the Chargers might be able to potentially find Philip Rivers' successor. But the other part of that is what this Chargers team is going to look like on the field if they go to 4-7. So one of the thoughts that he brings up, David, is the potential of the Chargers possibly using Philip Rivers and Tyrod Taylor and Easton Stick as well, maybe somewhat like you see in New Orleans with Taysom Hill and Drew Brees, an aging Drew Brees. But it is something that Anthony Lynn obviously wants to do. He came from Buffalo, where he was the offensive coordinator and had Tyrod Taylor, the Chargers' current backup, as the quarterback, and it led them to the playoffs for the first time in like 15 seasons. So you've seen it work to some extent, and you know that's what really, David, deep down, Anthony Lynn wants to run that, and he also wants to run some run-pass options and things of that nature as well, just things that aren't available with him right now with Philip Rivers.
Yeah, we know that, you know, in his heart of hearts, Anthony Lynn wants a mobile quarterback. He stated it before. It's not a secret. Philip Rivers is not a mobile quarterback. We all know that. He never has been. He never will be. But yeah, I mean, I think you might see some more Tyrod Taylor in that situation. I still think you, if you want to bring Phillip Rivers back for another year, that you have to keep that in mind, you know, along with his streak. So I don't think that they'll start Tyrod Taylor or, you know, start Easton Stick at any point. They might bring him in, you know, sprinkle them in for a couple of plays just to see what they have. But I just don't know if you want to, you know, slap Phillip Rivers in the face by taking him off the field if he's healthy.
And one thing I wrote in my article for the LA Football Network was just the fact that, does anyone really want to see a Bob McAdoo, Eli Manning situation where Eli Manning gets benched for one game and Geno Smith goes in there and takes snaps for the Giants, and then Eli Manning gets his streak snapped, which is basically the only reason that Phillip Rivers has the streak right now. Even though, I mean, Eli Manning would have gotten benched eventually and we would have had the conversation. It just would have happened a little bit later. But we all saw how that played out. This is a coaching staff and a general manager that might not be feeling the most secure in their jobs right now. So to make a publicity statement like that, to sit Phillip Rivers instead of letting him kind of go out on his own terms, even if that leads into a gunslinging blaze of fury, I think the Chargers just have to go with it. If they were to bench him, the amount of outrage, the amount of people that might just only be voting for Phillip Rivers as a player on the Chargers because they don't really care about the rest of the Chargers, all of those players and all of those fans are the ones that get hurt and get lost potentially in a situation like that. So I think if there's one thing we all agree on, it's that Phillip Rivers isn't going to get benched this season. But that being said, we're talking about benching Phillip Rivers. How about we talk about the momentum potentially shifting for Phillip Rivers in this game and possibly sending the Chargers into a run that could potentially save their season? Because that's what we're talking about tonight on Monday Night Football in Mexico City. And before we get into the predictions, David, it was nice to see that the Chargers look like they're going to have a lot of support at this game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look on the Chargers' Twitter accounts and their Instagram accounts, and of seeing their videos of them arriving and them going out to their hotel and just having rabid fan support, you know, the fans in Mexico City, a lot of Charger fans out there that are representing really well. A lot of Charger fans I know traveled out to this game to represent as well, you know, wanted to take advantage of this really awesome opportunity. And seems like it might be the first home field advantage they've ever had, and it's not even in LA.
At least the first home field advantage that they've ever had since the move to Los Angeles. And really, for the Chargers to see that kind of fan support, and I know that you can always poke holes in, you know, what angles you're seeing of these welcoming parties and things like that, but some reporters that we actually know and are down there and just some fans that we know, it seems like the hype is legit, at least regarding the amount of fans down there that are excited and are also Charger fans. That's really exciting for this game. I mean, the Chargers do look like they have a lot of support, and I'm excited for a game like this in the spotlight of national television, even though, David, of course, we have to be a little bit cautious because it's still the Chargers. But that being said, let's throw caution to the wind because it's time for bold predictions. So let's start with the defensive side of the ball. It's going to be a big game for the Chargers defense, David, against obviously a very high-powered top five Kansas City Chiefs offense, and that's with Patrick Mahomes missing some games. So for your defensive bold prediction this week, where are you going?
I wanted to get a little creative with my defensive bowl prediction this week. So I said that, you know, the Chargers are going to get 3 sacks by people not named Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. I think they're going to have to get that kind of effort. You know, I think they know what Melvin and Joey are going to bring on a down-by-down basis, but they're going to need some other people to step in and contribute to try to get some pass rush on Patrick Mahomes. This is a game they're going to need it. So I think they're going to go out there and do that. I think they're going to add 3 sacks by guys not named Bosa or Ingram.
That would be huge for a Chargers pass rush that has been up and down. You know, it's hard for them to consistently get pressure on a weekly basis, but we've seen them get back to the form they were in seasons past before the injury to Joey Bosa last year, where both of these guys had to be dealt with and planned around on every single snap. And I think that's a really nice bold prediction that would really pay big dividends for the Chargers if that was to happen. So my defensive bold prediction this week is that the Chargers are going to hold the Chiefs to under 50 yards of rushing and hold them under 300 yards passing. So I think they're going to really hold the Chiefs offense to under 350 total offensive yards. If you're going to go bold, you're going to do it with a big statement. And I think the Chargers defense gets a lot of people talking about them after this game with a really big time performance on national television. It would help a lot if Adrian Phillips could play, but the rise of Jalen Watkins that we've seen, some of the other players and key young players that have been stepping up for the Chargers, we'll see if they can get it done. But now it's time to talk about the offensive bowl predictions, which we could go a lot of different ways with, because the Chiefs are a very good team, but they do have some shortcomings, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So, David, who do you think is going to be the guy, or what do you think the Chargers are going to do this week in exposing that Chiefs defense?
So I think the Chargers are going to continue to hand the rock over to Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon has really found his stride in the last couple of weeks, really starting to look like the type of running back and the type of runner that we all know that he is capable of being. I think he's going to have a breakout game. This is going to be his breakout 2019 game. I think he's going to go over 160 rushing yards, and he's going to add two touchdowns, helping the Chargers get a huge win.
I love that, and I think that, obviously, I mean, Melvin Gordon, if you were going to pick a player who is hot at the right time and also gets a juicy matchup, that would be Melvin Gordon, right? I mean, getting a weak run defense coming off of his best game of the season. So I like that a lot, and I think that it could definitely happen. So for my offensive bowl prediction this week, I'm going to go with Mike Williams. There's been a lot of talk about Mike Williams as potentially a bust this year, and I'm going to bring it back to where we were last year when we saw the Chargers pull off the most miraculous win of their season and end in a 9-game losing streak to the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's Mike Williams. Last year, this was considered Mike Williams' breakout game, where he gets the 2-point conversion, he gets the rushing touchdown. He has just a huge game overall and is a big reason why the Chargers came back and won. I think with Mike Williams not getting in the end zone at all, I think it ends this week. I'm going to say the Chargers get in close a bunch of times, can't punch it in with Melvin Gordon, and Mike Williams comes away with 3 touchdowns in this game. So we haven't seen any touchdowns from Mike Williams. I think it's going to regress to the mean, and he's going to have a big game on Monday Night Football in front of the national audience that gets us talking about him potentially maybe not being a bust and living up to some of those quite lofty expectations. So that being said, David, it's time to get into our game predictions. How do you see this one playing out on Monday night?
Well, Daniel, I've said before, and I'm going to say it again, the Chargers absolutely have to win this game. They need it. They're desperate to get this game because, frankly, their season pretty much is on the line tonight. I think the Chargers know that. I think they came into this week ultra-focused. I think they went to Colorado Springs to try to put their bodies in the best position to go out there and perform at its best in Mexico City at the high elevation. I think the Chargers are going to go out there and they're going to get a huge win that week. They're going to get a huge win against the Chiefs. I'm going to go 34-31. It's going to be close. It's going to be high scoring, but I think the Chargers are going to do enough to keep their season alive.
Obviously, we all have to bank on that, and the Chargers have to bank on that to keep their season alive. I'm not quite so optimistic. Obviously, I know the Chargers will probably keep it close because they always do. I just think they're a little bit overmatched in this game. The Russell Okung news really swayed me on this game a lot too, because I think, you know, grit and determination and urgency and desperation and all of those things are worth something. But at some point, I don't think it can bridge the gap between the talent on these two teams and the health of these two teams. I mean, we're talking about a Chargers offensive line that is missing 4 starters at some point this season. Probably no Russell Okung, no Sam Tevy, no Forrest Lamp, no Mike Pouncey. I mean, that's just a murderer's row right there. I mean, of losses, not just on the offensive side of the ball. That's not even including the Chargers' potentially best player on their team, Derwin James. So I think the Chargers do keep it close in this game. And I think, like we've seen a lot this season, they just fail to really finish off the game, which has been their kryptonite. I'm going to say that the Chargers lose this one 38-29. I think it's kind of a weird game. I think we'll see some weird things. If the Chargers have anything left in the tank, we need to see it all come out in this game. So I'm optimistic that the Chargers will have a chance. I'm just pessimistic that they'll be able to learn from their prior mistakes and finish the game off. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Again, guys, get your thoughts from this game on the Locked On Chargers voicemail tomorrow by calling 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets played on the show. And if you don't already, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC, where you can send us your pictures. If you guys are down in Mexico City representing for the Chargers, make sure to send us a picture and a tweet so we can see you guys down there, because that looks like a ton of fun. But also subscribe to us if you don't already. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast anywhere you can get podcasts. So make sure you rate and review there as well. But we'll be back with you guys tomorrow. Let's see if the Chargers can pull off a major upset on Monday Night Football and keep their season alive. But until then, guys, take it easy and go Bolts.